Good morning. I'm on. Good morning, Cornerstone. Good morning. Go ahead and turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 16. We have been studying out the life of Peter, looking at how Peter lived by faith and different things that Jesus did in the life of Peter that really inspired him to be a man of faith. And so last week we talked about Peter being able to walk on the water, right? Again, it's one thing for Jesus to walk on water. It's a whole other thing for Peter, a man just like us, to be able to walk on water. And that was a result of his faith, of his trust in Jesus. We talked about Peter being given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And so we're going to reference that a little bit more in a moment. But before we do, a couple of administrative items. Just wanted to let everybody know. So this past week, I had a chance to visit with Ricky Burke, and it was great. You know, 2 weeks ago, Ricky had surgery, and so I went to go see him this week, and we just had a great time. They were just so hospitable, and his grandkid was there, and I was so just encouraged. You know, he took some time out of his grandkid time, which for those of you, for those of you that are grandfathers, you know, how important and special I'm sure that time is for you. But he took some time out of his day just to spend with me, and we just talked, and he just caught me up on just surgery and life, and they're taking a trip to Chile with the whole family coming up here soon. But we had a chance to pray together, to read some of his favorite scriptures together, and it was just an amazing time. And he mentioned something to me. He said, Finn, you know, this past week while I was at home after the surgery, I watched you on Sunday morning live. And he said, I didn't even realize we did that. And I said, you know, yeah, we do that. So Steve talked about some of the money we spend. You see, we have cameras set up. We record the sermons and put them on YouTube afterwards. We also put the audio up on our website. But one of the things we started doing, big shout out to the AV team, is we stream live every Sunday. So if you go to Cornerstone's public Facebook page, so there's an interior page that, you know, if you're a member, we're on, but there's the public page, sort of just the page you go and click, I like this. And every Sunday morning, about this time, they start streaming live. And so thank you so much, as Steve was sharing, for how much you give, for how generous of a church you are, because we get to do things like that. So when people are sick or shut in, I remember growing up going to church, we had a list in the bulletin, the sick and shut in. Right? You remember that list? The sick and shut in. And you were supposed to pray for them or go visit them. And a lot of times preachers would go and then try to maybe do a mini version of their sermon for those people. But now they can just listen or watch right from home. So thank you again. Just want to let you guys know, again, if you're traveling or if you're sick, shut in, can't make it for some reason, and you still want to catch the sermon, we do stream it live from our public Facebook page. Speaking of technology, I saw this. Let me turn this on. All right, there we go. I saw this meme this week. I know the kids are in here today, and so I know all of you are going back to school. If you haven't already gone back to school, basically everybody in the country after Labor Day is back. So the people in the Northeast and the West Coast that sometimes wait until after Labor Day, everybody's back in school. And I know that school has been rough for some of you. You're getting up at like 4 and 5. Liz, I heard Trevor was telling me, Liz gets up at like 4 something in the morning. It's like to get on the bus by like, I don't know, 5:45, it's just, man. So when you think teenagers are lazy, I mean, how many of us are getting up at 4 something in the morning? Maybe a couple, but but I know you're in here today, and so I'm going to do a short message. But while you and all the kids rock, all the kids are in here, we just, you know, the thing is, we want you to be able to enjoy service and really to respect the service. And so I saw this week and I thought about it. And when it comes to being a part of the service, I know it's easy. We watched we had a workshop. Kenson and Carly, the team ministry, put on this workshop, Screenagers, talking about how it's easy to just be addicted to screens, whether that's video game screens or television screens or iPad or phones. And so it'd be easy to just, you know, my kid is on one right now, to just check out and be in your screen. But we want you to be able to be a part of the service, okay? And have some respect for your parents, because here's the deal. As hard as school is for you, Your parents went through it without Google. Encyclopedia Britannica was our Google. The card catalog in the library, you know. So I'm going to do a short message. I know the kids are in here, so we definitely want to be able to get you out. You can spend some great Labor Day time with your family this week. So over in Matthew 16, we talked about how Peter got the keys to the kingdom. And last week we shared that this wasn't Jesus making him the Pope, okay? But Peter did have an important role. And so you can imagine, Peter had walked on water. And then Jesus tells him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John. Here are the keys to the kingdom." So I can imagine how Peter's maybe probably feeling pretty good about himself after that. You know, one day he's walking by and he sees somebody trying to get in their house and maybe the door is locked. And Peter's like, "You need to get in your house? I got the keys." You know, he's going through and he's sitting down one day talking with John and Andrew. He's like, "Andrew, little bro, guess what? I've got a great idea for a book. The Three Keys to the Kingdom, written by Peter." He's going around like, "Man, I'm the guy with the keys. You need something unlocked, just call me Peter. I got the keys." And Peter's starting to feel pretty good about himself. You can imagine. And so we're going to pick up here in Matthew chapter 16. Right after this happens, Jesus gives him the keys to the kingdom. It says this in verse 21. "From then on, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised on the third day." Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Let me think about that for a second. So, Jesus is getting really serious and like, "Hey, guys, we just talked about Philippi, Caesarea Philippi, and the gates of Hades won't overcome this, what we're doing. We're going to win." And so they're like, "This is awesome. Peter's got the keys. He's walking on water. We've cast out demons. I mean, things are going great." And it says, "From then on, Jesus began to tell them, here's the deal, guys. Yes, I'm a king. I'm the son of the living God. But this isn't going to go how you think it is. Matter of fact, it's going to go so poorly, in a sense, that they're going to arrest me. I'm going to be brutally beaten, and I'm going to be killed." And so Peter's like, "What? Jesus. Come over here, Jesus." You ever had somebody pull you aside after church? I need to talk to you, bro. But you can imagine Peter walking up, put his arm, "Jesus, this ain't going to happen. You just said we're going to beat the gates of Hades won't overcome us. You just gave me the keys. You can rebuke the wind and waves. This isn't going to happen to you." And actually, one of the other gospels, it says, Jesus looked over and saw that his disciples saw this conversation is going on. It says he looked at his disciples and then he rebuked Peter. And so it's interesting when you think about scripture, there are times when Jesus rebuked evil spirits. Jesus rebuked fevers. Jesus rebuked the wind and waves. He rebuked James and John. Remember when James and John were like, "Let's destroy these Samaritans. Call down fire from heaven. Let's just destroy them." And it makes sense that Jesus would rebuke them in that instance. Like, "Come on, we're not here to kill people." But it says he was so really upset at Peter for basically trying to stop what God had ordained was going to happen. He says he rebuked Peter. And this wasn't just any old rebuke. He says, it says in verse 23, or 22, "Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Oh, no, Lord, this will never happen to you." Jesus turned and told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but man's concerns." Point number one today. Our concerns heavenly or earthly? Actually, point number one and my only point today. This is the only point. Our concerns heavenly or earthly? I mean, Jesus goes in on Peter. Calls him Satan. Now, I've been called some names in my life for different reasons at different times. Nobody's ever called me Satan. Can you imagine the Son of God looking at Peter, the guy? But Jesus, I got the keys. Get behind me, Satan. And I can imagine this conversation. Jesus rebukes Peter. He looks over, and then if you keep reading, he says, look, if anyone wants to come after me, he needs to deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This is not about me being crowned in glory and a parade and everything going well. If you're going to come after me, you got to give up your life. If you want to save your life, you got to lose it. Peter, you're not thinking about God's concerns. You're thinking about man's concerns. So the question, the only question I really want us to think about today is, what are our concerns? Appreciate the contribution. What are our concerns? The hands of Christ? The people in prison? Man, that letter just moved me. The guy said, my family hasn't written me in 2 years, and every day I sit at mail call and I'm hoping to get something. You guys love when you get a package at the swamp, right? I mean, it's like mail time, right? When you get your mail and they call your name and you know your parents sent you a bunch of chocolate and candy and goodies because Jeff and the counselors have to deal with candy version of you and not them. And sometimes they write a little message on it. If you want to open this box, you got to do a dance. You got to whip and nay-nay first or something, right? They do something crazy, and it's just a fun time to get mail at the swamp. And you're already having a great time. Really, for a lot of kids, Chloe says it's her favorite place on earth. The time of their life happens at Camp Swamp. And on top of that, they're getting mail. Think about this guy and what he shared. Says, I have a life sentence, and I'm discouraged daily. He basically said, I need a friend. I need some hope. What are our concerns? What are the things that are on our mind? In Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes this. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, or set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life, not just something we do on Sundays, not just something we do at, you know, 4 in the morning when you get up and read the scriptures. Not just something to do when you're feeling good and life is going well. When Christ, who is your life, appears. But Paul said you got to set your heart, you got to set your mind on things above. Yesterday I got invited to a cookout yesterday, and there's some kids there, as there are at cookouts. And this one little girl, she lost her earring. Yeah, it's really sad. So her dad, no, seriously. So she, these were earrings that her dad had given her. And come to find out afterwards, they were very, very expensive earrings. Now, there's one lesson in this. Don't give expensive things to little children. Now, look, every parent, we've all done it, right? At some point, you've done it, right? The 7-year-old wants a necklace from Walmart, and you just, the cute face and the puckery lips, and you're like, I really shouldn't buy this. And they've lost it, right? This has happened to every parent, whether it's some video game you bought, or whether it's some toy, or whether it's some shirt that was super expensive. You've never spent that much for a shirt in your life. But you give it to your kid, or a jacket that they really, really wanted, and they leave it at school. Right? Or they accidentally break the disc that the PlayStation game is on. Or in this girl's case, she just lost an earring. She's about, I don't know, Chloe, she was like 7 years old or something, like 8 years old. And she was devastated. And so a bunch of us, we spent probably 30, 45 minutes just walking around the grass trying to find this earring. And eventually it came to a point where it was like, Ecclesiastes, there's a time to search and there's a time to give up. I mean, we had probably 10 adults and kids looking for this earring, and we just couldn't find it. But she was so distraught, and she said, and this is the part that was, she said, you know, the thing is, my Nana, she said she's fine. She's all right with me. My mom is, I already talked to my mom on the phone. Her grandmother had brought her. I said, my dad, but he really, really cares about monies. My dad is all about monies. And it just, man, my heart just sank. And so when we think about it, like, what are your concerns? What would your children say are the things that are most important to you? How do they see you spend your time and money? You heard the old saying, want to know what matters to somebody? Look at their calendar and their bank account. Where do they spend their time? Where do they spend their money? Are your concerns on the things of this world, on earthly things? Or are your concerns on the things of God? Because a lot of times they are in conflict. Peter's like, no, Jesus, this won't happen to you. Nobody's going to kill you. And Jesus is like, this is the only way it can go down. If people are going to be saved. Where are your concerns? What are the things that keep you up at night? You know, how many, and again, we let, you know, I love college sports. There was a game that happened on Thursday. I'm not going to talk about it, okay? But seriously, how many wives and children and pets had to cower in fear because of some drunk father and husband because their team lost on Saturday? That the actions of 18 to 22-year-olds can affect you so much that it results in violence or anger or... And here's the thing, I care about my team a lot. But what are your concerns on? Are they on the things of God or the things of man? Because when you look at Matthew 6, and when Jesus says, listen, don't worry about food or clothing. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. And it's very, for us, very few of us probably get up in the morning thinking, I'm not going to eat a meal today. Very few of us have one or two outfits in our closet, if any of us in this room. A lot of these people had followed John the Baptist around before they followed Jesus. And John told them, if you have two tunics, share with him who has none. And so Jesus is saying, don't worry about clothing. Jesus, I've only got this one outfit. A lot of people literally, when Jesus said, you must give up everything to follow me, it meant leave everything behind and walk around with me. To be Jesus' disciple in the first century meant to literally leave everything. Because it wasn't written down. They had to listen to the teachings daily and see his life. And so these people had left jobs or homes or whatever to walk with Jesus around. He says, don't worry about food. But Jesus, I left my source of income. These fishermen stopped fishing. We've left everything to follow you. And Jesus says, I don't want you to worry about any of those things. You ever seen a bird freaking out? God cares about you a lot more than sparrows. Look at the flowers. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't labor or spin. God takes care of them, and he cares so much more about you than those things. But when you get to the end of that passage, what does he want you to worry about? What does he say in verse 33? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Is your mind on earthly things or on heavenly things? Because when you're seeking those things first, God says, I'm going to take care of all the other things. The things that you want to lose sleep about. No. Don't lose sleep about these things. Worry about his kingdom and his righteousness. And so, the question today, are your concerns heavenly or are they earthly? Peter's concerns were so earthly that Jesus rebuked him and called him Satan. Because he was so worried about this life right now, what's going to happen. And Jesus was thinking about people at Cornerstone Church. Thousands of years later, they're going to need my blood to have been spilled for them. And so as we follow our Lord, as we follow our Messiah, I want to challenge us to be thinking about heavenly things and not earthly things. Let's see. So after this, we're going to talk about this next week. They go up on the mountain, the transfiguration happens, but shortly after that, in Matthew chapter 17, in verse 22, it says this. As they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus told them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised up." And they were deeply distressed. So the first time this happens, Peter tries to rebuke him. They go up on the mountain. He realizes this is really God's son. So the next time, this is one of the next times Jesus tries to tell them plainly, look, I'm gonna die. Another translation says, they were deeply grieved. And so the thought of their Lord and Master and Messiah being brutally killed, it deeply grieved them. It moved them. In a moment, we're gonna take the bread that represents his broken body and the fruit of the vine that represents his blood spilled out. This hadn't happened yet. They were just looking forward, and it deeply grieved them. As we look back at it, does it move us? And there are lots of different possible responses to this information. Some of us, it can cause grief. When we think about, you know, that song we sang, "It is well with my soul," right? The thought of my sin being nailed to the cross. But it really should be a time of remembrance, too. He says, the bliss of this glorious thought that my sins were nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. That's a good response. Another good response is being cut to the heart. Maybe you've never really, really dug in and thought about the fact that a carpenter's son who was also God in the flesh died on a cross in your place. That the life that you've lived, the sins you've committed, that's what was owed you, but he went instead. You know, on Pentecost, those 3,000, it said it cut them to the heart. So there are a lot of different responses to the cross. It could be grief. It could be bliss. It could be joy. It could just be a somber time. It could be a celebratory time. Remember, in the first century, they had communion meals. They were eating together and talking about Jesus. And so there are a myriad of responses that you can have to the cross. So my challenge today is as we go and take the Lord's Supper, think about heavenly things. Think about the things above. Set your heart and mind on the things above, not on earthly things. Let's pray.